Good morning. The reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 12 to 27. It's on page 931 in the Church Bibles. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Hello, good morning. We've done this before, you're used to it, so... I thought I'd briefly mention something that I was part of this week, the AFES Focus Commissioning Service for students and staff. Monday, Matt and Heidi and I were there. It was great to be with students and staff beginning the new year at university campuses across Australia and praying for the work of the gospel on our campuses. Great to catch up with some friends that haven't seen for a while. Yeah, the good old days from 35 years ago. Friends who were involved in ministry with me 35 years ago on campus and now whose children are. It's really great. So that was a great evening. We did textual criticism. We did some together as we filled in the missing word on the song. It'd be great to talk to you about textual criticism if you're interested. Sure, Lachlan would be interested too. So today we're continuing our series in Kingdom Commitments, and we happen to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. If you've got a Bible, it'd be great to follow along in the text as we look at it together. But let's pray together as we begin. Now, Father, thank you for the words of Scripture given to us in 1 Corinthians. As we contemplate this teaching of our Apostle Paul, speak to us. As we listen to your words, work in us by your Spirit to draw from us meditations that are pleasing to you. And help us to respond to you rightly. Amen. So once again, Matt's words that I'm reading, I've left in all of the Mattisms. You will know. In this sermon series, we're looking together as a church at our kingdom commitments, the commitments that our faith calls us to for the sake of the kingdom of God. Today, we're talking about our commitment to the Christian community. If you look at the mission statement on the wall, we aren't just being disciples. We aren't just making disciples. We're doing those things in a loving church. So we're committing to each other as a community. the gospel. The message of Christianity is that through Jesus' death and resurrection, our sins are forgiven. We have peace with God. We're accepted as children of God. And we've been given eternal life as a gift. All of these benefits and blessings come to us because we're united with Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. But there's more. One of the profound things about Christianity is that the gospel of Jesus creates community between believers. Because we're united to Christ and receive his life through his Spirit, we're also united with everyone else who follows him. Paul describes it as a body with many parts. So verses 12 to 14. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Christianity has never been an individual affair. We come to Christ and are joined into his body. The same salvation that we receive through the same Spirit at work in us brings us together and creates a community. And Paul is explicit that this community transcends the biggest divisions of his day: Jew and Gentile, slave and free. This community doesn't eradicate our differences. As Paul says, the body has many parts. But it does unite us in a way that transcends those differences. The fact that we all receive this salvation as a gift of grace means that the other ways we could identify or distinguish or separate ourselves, they become less important. Imagine a lavish fundraising event. A group of people stand at the bar and ask, "Why are you here?" "Well, I'm here because I donated $10 million to build the new wing at the hospital." "Well, I'm here because I'm the entertainment for the evening." "Well, I'm here because my daddy is on the board of directors." They all feel entitled to be there because of their birth or their wealth or talent. But someone else says, "I couldn't afford to be at this event, but I'm here because someone gave me a ticket." They don't feel entitled to be there. They're thankful to be there because someone showed them an act of grace. Christianity tells us that none of us are entitled to salvation. We don't receive it through wealth or birth or talent. We all receive the same salvation through the same Spirit as a gift. That means that rivalry or pride or insecurity, those things that are so destructive to community, they're unnatural for us. Instead, humility and thankfulness and joyfulness, those things that are so helpful for community, become more and more natural as we understand the depth of the gift we've been given. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, I want to tell you that through him, you can have salvation and be brought into a community of grace. I'd love to talk to you about it more. And if you are a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you to commit yourself to the Christian community. Commit yourself to your brothers and sisters in Christ. If we return to Paul's picture of the Christian community as a body, he points out some attitudes or beliefs that destroy community. So verses 15 to 16. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. This is the attitude of someone who's cutting themselves off from Christian community. They aren't being excluded, they're isolating themselves. I'm not good enough. I'm not clever enough. I'm not talented enough. No one would understand what I'm going through. It's a subtle form of judgment to look around at those around us and say, well, that isn't me, so I don't belong. If you're a Christian, your belonging is founded on the free grace that's given to you in Jesus. For each one of us, our belonging is founded on that same free grace that's given to us in Jesus. So don't fall into the trap of comparing yourselves with others and withholding who you are and what you can offer. Someone might say, I won't bother coming to church because I won't be missed anyway. I'm not up the front or anything. That is baloney. Your presence here is helping to encourage and strengthen a fellow believer. As you sing with them side by side, hear the gospel with them side by side, share communion with them side by side, pray with them side by side, welcome others. Just by being here, you're strengthening your brothers and sisters. When you're not here, we miss you. Your presence matters. Paul continues to paint the picture of how ludicrous it would be if every part of the body were the same. Verses 17 to 19. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? Paul's still talking to the person comparing themselves to others and isolating themselves, but it also speaks powerfully to something that we've done in making churches into niche markets. I've heard people come in and complain because I want a church where there are people like me, my age, my demographic, my life stage, my socioeconomic status, my education level. I'm looking for a church where there are a lot of 42-year-old men with beards who like hymns done in folk or maybe Afro-Cuban jazz style and where most people wear brown shoes. All right, a church full of people who are just like you. Like a body where every part is an eye or an ear. We had some people who left DBC a few years ago. After a couple of years, they came back to visit. And I asked what had brought them back. And I'm not exaggerating. The guy said that in the last couple of years, they'd visited practically every church between Belconnen and the city, and they just couldn't find a church they were happy with. They never came back the next week, so apparently we didn't make them happy either. But you know, if you visited every church between Belconnen and the city, and they just haven't been able to fulfill your double shot latte on skim order just the way you like it, maybe you're not seeing these people the way that God sees them. God, who has placed every single one of them here by his grace. One of the great joys of the Christian church is that we receive those who are different from us, old and young, rich and poor, single and married, those in families, those widowed, Asian and African and Anglo, all worship together. We learn from and grow with and invest in people that are different from us. It's a worldly attitude that only looks to be with people who are like us. Paul goes on with another destructive attitude, verses 20 to 22. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. We need one another. No matter what part you play in this body of Christ, we need you. Paul specifically talking to those who might look down on someone else and say, "You aren't special, you aren't useful, you're not needed." For faith to flourish, for the mission of God to go forward in the world, we need each other. God has designed it so that faith grows in community. One of the biggest ways that I see this playing out today is the number of Christians who won't commit themselves to a local church. I'm so sick of hearing it. "Oh, I still believe in Jesus, I just don't like church. It was something I didn't like, so I took a break. I'm just really busy at the moment with work and sport. I'm not getting anything out of it. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I just don't think I need it." Translation: I just don't think I need you. And I'm certainly not interested in you needing me. Selfish, and it's foolish because it always ends the same. In 10 years, they aren't following Jesus. They did need a Christian community for the very survival of their faith. Those Christians that you think are dispensable are the very tools that God uses to grow and strengthen you. And he wants to use you to grow and strengthen others. We need each other. It's astounding that in places where Christianity is illegal, believers will risk their lives to meet together. It's that important for faith. And yet, we turn up once a month if it suits. A Christian community only works when we give ourselves, first of all, to God and then to each other. In 2017, Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, made headlines when he announced an overhaul of the mission of Facebook. Facebook at that time had passed 2 billion users, and he suggested that Facebook was the new church and could fill the role that religion once did. Really? That's fantastic. From now on, Facebook will be devoted to making disciples of Jesus. Of course, that's not what he meant. Zuckerberg had realized that connecting wasn't enough. It wasn't the same as a deep sense of community. And as a strong sense of community had radically declined in our society, he noted that the church was one of the few remaining places with a strong sense of community. It's nice that Zuckerberg identified community and church together, but there's something profound about a Christian community that can never be replaced by social media. The Guardian ran an opinion piece by Peter Ormerod in response to Zuckerberg's speech. Quote, "At their best, churches offer a perspective on life fundamentally opposed to the culture Facebook encourages and upon which it feeds." Unquote. For one, churches are messy. They're not organized by any algorithm or tailored to the individual end user? Far from it. A church service isn't made for any one person. The same liturgies have been intoned and the same songs sung by millions of people all over the world, in many cases, over the course of centuries. We can't just flick past the bits we don't like. We're confronted with discomforting Bible passages, impenetrable mysteries, harrowing truths. Unlike Facebook, a church tells us that we are not at the centre of the world. What Ormerod's picking up there is that at the heart of the church community is the recognition that the church is not about me. It's a sacrificial community centred around Jesus. One of the reasons that community has declined in our society is surely the rise of our hyper-individualism. A genuine sense of community requires a sacrificial giving to others. Some people talk about community as though it's a beautiful concept or some mystical force they can create. They have a utopian vision for community, but they find they never get there. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a theologian who ran an underground seminary in Nazi Germany where pastors were trained secretly as they lived together in community. Out of that experience, he wrote a profound book called Life Together. Let me read you a quote I'm sure I've shared before. God hates visionary dreaming. It makes the dreamer proud and pretentious. The man who fashions a visionary ideal of community demands that it be realized by God, by others, and by himself. He enters the community of Christians with his demands, sets up his own law, and judges the brethren and God and himself accordingly. He stands adamant, a living reproach to all others in the circle of brethren. He acts as if he is the creator of the Christian community, as if his dream binds men together. When things do not go his way, he calls the effort a failure. Can you imagine two people who both have that attitude, trying to create a community together? What about three people? Could you imagine a dozen people trying to create a community with that attitude? Bonhoeffer goes on to say, Christian brotherhood is not an ideal which we must realize. It is rather a reality created by God in Christ, in which we may participate. There's only one way to build a community, to commit yourself to a group of people sacrificially. Have a look around at your brothers and sisters here. Each one is a gift that God has chosen to place here so we can grow together in the difficult, confusing, confronting, joyful, and glorious mess that is a church community. To be and make disciples of Jesus in a loving church, that isn't about an organization. That's about people with names and faces, with joys and sorrows, with gifts and difficulties, with sin and salvation held hand in hand. These people need you to help them to be disciples. I hope you can be humble enough to see that you need them to be a disciple too. There's no such thing as isolated individual Christianity because there is no growth, no grace in selfish individualism. There are people whom God has moved to other places, and I miss them deeply because we have we've shared a genuine love and community. They put down roots and were blessed and grew, even as they blessed and grew those around them. Years ago, a couple left our church to go to Oxford. The wife told me it was scary to go because they couldn't imagine finding people that they loved as much as their community here in Canberra. And guess what? They did find a community like that in Oxford. And even though they were only there for 2 years, they committed to those people and loved them deeply. Last week we farewelled a couple in the evening congregation, and I had the exact same conversation. We will miss them deeply. But the reason they found such a loving, beautiful community was because they gave themselves to know and love and serve the people that were here in front of them. What's the alternative? I hung around for 3 years, didn't really commit to anyone, didn't really turn up unless it was convenient. Now I'm leaving, but I don't think I'll really remember or miss you. That's sad. Community starts with seeing, loving, and serving the person in front of you. Let me give you a few ways to strengthen and grow in community. First, commit to being here and worshipping as a body every Sunday, not just when you're on the roster or when it's convenient. Being here, week in and week out, and worshipping side by side. Second, commit to being part of a Connect group this year. You can't have deep relationships with everyone, but when you commit to a Connect group, you have a small group of people you can know and love deeply. You grow, and you help others to grow too. Third, think about becoming a member. Being a member isn't just about governance. It's about community. We commit to beliefs together. We commit to a covenant of care that spells out our responsibilities to one another. Already, some of you might be having an allergic reaction because I used the words commit and responsibility in the same sentence. How about if I put it like this? As a church, we've tried to spell out what it means to be a loving community and treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's the same thing. Any community or vision of love that doesn't involve commitment and responsibility isn't worthy of the name. Last, be reconciled to one another. In every church, you'll find people you naturally like and some people you don't. Sometimes conflicts and quarrels spring up. Don't ignore that person. Don't avoid that person. If it's possible and safe to do so, reconcile your differences. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. Let me make you a promise. I'm speaking from first-hand experience here. If you'll commit yourselves to loving these people, you'll find a depth of joy and a depth of sorrow that you won't find anywhere else. Because we are a body, and we are profoundly affected by each other, and we share together in joy and sorrow, and that's exactly how God has designed it. Look again at verses 26 to 27. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that though we are many parts, we are one body, the body of Christ. Thank you for the encouragement that that is to us, that in this world we are not alone, but we have brothers and sisters who love us and whom we are to love. Thank you for the grace in which we stand, which makes that possible. Help us to give ourselves to each other, to build community that honours you and points the world outside to the life of joy you offer. We ask in Jesus' name.